Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Liberty loving friends, welcome back to another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night. I'm one of the hosts here, Charles Chuck Thompson. With me as always is Nathaniel Paul Thurston. Now you
That's what we're doing right now.
Intro.
No, I'm just going to cut myself in saying Liberty at Night over the top of you saying good morning, Liberty. It's going to sound amazing because it's Tuesday and on Tuesdays.
You were looking at me and I knew that I needed to change it, but in my mind I was already.
It's just muscle memory at this point.
I was going down the power of habit.
Nothing you can do about it.
And then, there was no switching gears.
It's not even that you were reading off a teleprompter or anything, you know? It's just, that's what your brain says you have to say.
It's a neural pathway that just comes out.
Well, hello, everyone, all of our liberty-loving friends. We've been gone for quite some time.
Yeah.
This was a break. Wednesday of last week, we did Dumb Bleep of the Week.
We took Labor Day off.
Because we wanted to fight for... labor.
Non-labor.
Union labor.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll talk maybe about unions if we have some time today. I don't like them. Not a fan. Not a fan of the unions. And Labor Day is one of my least favorite days of the year because it's people just saying good things about unions. It's like one of those times that I have to stay off of the internet.
I didn't see anything about
unions. Oh, my God. It's unions. All just fight for labor. Labor Day. If you enjoyed Labor Day, think a union. If you enjoy the weekend, think a union. God. Makes me want to puke every time. Every Labor Day, worst holiday of the year. I tell you what.
But you enjoyed it this year.
I enjoyed it this year. You're right. Because I was not one to puke because I wasn't even online because I was on a family vacation with my wife's side of the family. We took the kids and took the in-laws and all that. We went down to Jacksonville, Florida. Went down to Neptune Beach. That's what they call it. And then we went up to Driftwood Beach on the way out. Have you ever driven up the coastline, like, between Florida and Georgia? And you see, in my mind, I've never driven up there before. In my mind, you just got to a spot, and then there was a beach, and then there was the ocean. And, like, that's what the edge of the United States looks like all the way from Miami all the way up to Maine. It looks like Daytona Beach. It's all the way up. Yeah. The entire coastline is just one giant beach.
That's not it. No.
And that's not what it looks like. Mm-mm. It's actually really cool. There's all these little islands. Let me let you guys know what the east coast of the United States looks like, because I drove up about 50 miles of it this weekend. And it's really pretty through there.
Changed your life, didn't it?
I did not know it existed. It actually made me want to visit Georgia sometime, and I've never felt that way in my entire life.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear Savannah's pretty. I've been there before, but, like, for one night.
Yeah, and then they have those trees, not the weeping willow trees, but, like, those Georgia trees. I don't know what they're called.
The giant oaks?
They're, like kind of mossy.
Yeah.
Coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's called a mossy oak. I'm not sure.
Yeah. The antebellum trees. Yeah.
The antebellum. Yeah. The, like the.
They were there before.
The Patriot
House. Civil War. Yeah.
Trees. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all live right on the road and everything. Spanish moss. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? So anyway, it was really pretty through there. I recommend it to someone. If you want to drive through there, I recommend having a convertible or a Jeep or a bike. Like a, not a bicycle. It's a long way. Like a motorbike of some kind. A motorcycle.
I was like, are you biking 50 miles now?
Yes. No, I'm not. I rode in a car that I was driving. So anyway, we got stuff to talk about. It's Tuesday night for some people.
I was not on vacation. I was here working hard, as I usually do. And
yes.
Nate, that's your fifth vacation this year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And that doesn't even count Freedom Fest. If you count Freedom Fest, then it was my sixth vacation of the year.
And then tomorrow you're leaving for another conference.
I'm going to Denver tomorrow.
Yeah. So, vacation number six.
And I cannot say Denver without Wedding Crashers popping up in my head. And my wife and I both do that. Like, I'm leaving tomorrow. And she's like, yeah, you're going to Denver to meet your whore. Like, I earn those miles. Like, every time.
Yeah.
That's what we talk about. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm going to Denver, and then I think that's it for me for the year. My wife still has one more trip planned. And then we just found out we're going to Peru in a few months, so...
So you do have more.
No, it's in 2024.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't count.
Peru's awesome, though. I loved Peru.
I was going to talk to you about that, sometime before or after, but I need help.
Well, let me know.
I might need help. We'll see. Anyway, this is Good Morning Liberty. We talk about life, liberty, and pursuit of meaning, as you can tell, every single day of the week, as you can tell, when we want to.
As you can tell.
And so... We were asking the live group beforehand what the heck happened over the time that we were gone. We were gone Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and here I am perusing the internet for news last night. Can't find hardly anything.
I don't think anything catastrophic happened. That's good.
And what's cool about taking little trips where you go out and you touch sand or touch grass or whichever one, as you realize that there's not that many really important things that happen. When you're tuned into the news on a constant daily basis, and let's say that you've boxed yourself into a life where you have to talk for upwards of an hour every single day about something that's in the news, well, then you tend to fine-tune yourself into every single little bitty thing that happens.
That becomes your reality.
And when you take some time off and you come back and you look for this super important thing that happened while you were gone, and you're like, well, what's important that happened while I was gone? Well, Jimmy Buffett died. The lead singer of Smash Mouth died. Those are about the most important things that happened, except for all the other people that died and other people's lives that weren't famous.
And we're against death.
And we don't like it.
Yeah.
And so those were the really important things. Other than that, there are news stories that we can, in fact... talk about, and we will, and they are really important. So I tried to find the most important thing, the most important piece that came out, and it happens to do with the U.S. deficit. Now, I know this is confusing because we have budget hawk Joseph Biden.
And the strongest economy with Bidenomics in play.
In the history of all mankind happening right now. So I know it's really confusing. But our deficit is looking like it's going to double just after 1 year
of him reducing it.
The most that's ever been reduced in the history of all mankind is now going to double the following year. And this is actually kind of scary because we happen to be in the best economy in the history of the world, like what you were just saying. And we got low unemployment. Everyone is doing so good. But unfortunately,
inflation's coming down.
Inflation has been reduced greatly.
Yeah.
And
COVID's gone, minus all the people who got it this summer.
And so other than it's kind of crazy. Other than all those great things happening, we are in a situation that we've only ever been in when there was a war going on or a really catastrophic economic recession or depression going on. And we happen to be moving into that period right now where $2 trillion looks like it's going to become like a baseline type of deficit for us. And that's not good.
That's only two.
Remember when it was a trillion before COVID? And that was bad. That was really bad. And now it's kind of looking like, well, all things being equal, everything considered, our normal economy humming along, adding more jobs than God out here is Joseph R. Biden. $2 trillion deficit, about the best we can muster right now.
Yeah.
So there's a piece here from who? Whom?
The Washington Post.
The Washington Post posting about this.
The subtitle is, a strong economy usually reduces the deficit. Not this time.
Maybe it's because it's not actually a strong economy.
The federal deficit is projected to roughly double this year as bigger interest payments and lower tax receipts widen the nation's spending imbalance despite robust overall economic growth. They're still trying to spend this thing.
I know. They're going
to. The writing's on the wall. And they're just like, don't look here. Yeah. Over here. After the government's record spending in 2020 and 2021 to combat the impact of COVID-19, there is a war going on, by the way, right now.
There's a war.
Ukraine-Russia. The deficit dropped by the greatest amount ever in 2022, falling from close to $3 trillion to roughly $1 trillion, but rather then continue to fall to its pre-pandemic levels. The deficit then shot upward. Budget experts now project that it will probably rise to about $2 trillion for the fiscal year that ends September 30th. The unexpected.
It's very unexpected.
God, it's so unexpected. Mm-hmm. Who would have seen this coming? No one could have possibly predicted this.
No.
The unexpected deficit surge, which comes amid signs of strong growth in the economy overall. How can they write something like this?
The only thing that they can point to, they point to the job numbers, which we know about that. We actually are going to talk about that a little bit more later on. And then they can point to things like GDP also.
But you know what they never do? They never repoint. They never point to the revised job numbers that come out a couple months later.
No, and they don't point to how many jobs were lost before Joe Biden took office and where we actually are versus where we would have been if we would have stayed on the same trend that we were on before the COVID lockdowns. And then they point to GDP, which a large portion of GDP is government spending. And so they talk about, well, our GDP number is this, this, and this. Well, we got the Inflation Reduction Act. We got all the money, you know, we're spending on defense, of course. We got all kinds of money the government spends that becomes a portion of the GDP, and then our GDP number gets more and more fake over time. And so all this hoopla about a strong economy.
It's all fake.
Yes.
It's literally all fake. All right. Let's see.
Yeah, you can kind of scan through a little bit because this hasn't been...
So there's likely to be a fierce debate on Capitol Hill about the nation's fiscal policies as lawmakers face a potential government shutdown this fall.
Ooh. Yeah, that's coming up in like a couple weeks. Every We're going to be talking shutdown again.
Every fall we shut down, man. The Senate will return this week from its August recess, and the House will be back the following week. The higher deficit may undermine Biden's attempt to take credit for reining in the budget ahead of the 2024 presidential election. And it could pose a challenge to Republican lawmakers who, despite their calls for fiscal responsibility, are pushing to extend more than $3 trillion in tax cuts they approved in 2017. This is all because of tax cuts and corporate greed can explain this.
The $3 trillion in tax cuts, of course, are over a span of 10 years. And so that means if all the numbers are correct and they would actually take in that amount of taxes, then the $3 trillion in tax cuts they want to extend would be $300 billion per year. And, of course, we're talking about a $2 trillion deficit. Even if you weren't going to extend those tax cuts and they took in the perfect amount of money they're talking about, then the deficit would be $1.7 trillion instead of $2 trillion. And that would not solve the problem at all. But they're going to keep pointing to this because they can say this $3 trillion word right there, and people use that. Well, we got a $2 trillion deficit. We got $3 trillion in tax cuts. And they just don't think about it, man. Mm-hmm.
The surge in red ink has confounded many economists' expectations. Typically, deficits contract when the economy grows because the businesses and consumers owe more in taxes, and the government does not need to spend as much to protect those who have lost their jobs. Then deficits normally expand again in downturns as those factors go into reverse. And yet the current surge in the deficit is coinciding with a period of unusually strong economic growth amid historic lows in unemployment and robust corporate profits. So weird.
It is really
so weird how that happens.
And so what they're basically saying is normally during a recession, we'll see the deficit go up like we did for COVID. We saw that happen because tax receipts go down. People lose their jobs.
There's like not, we did in 08, 09.
Not as many people paying their taxes. Corporate profits are going down. And the government is having to spend more money, or they choose to spend more money to try and help people. And so the deficit surged during that time, and then they typically will come back, and there's a time where we have low unemployment, and we have corporate profits doing well, and we have so many people working, and we're adding so many jobs. The problem is the unemployment number is still a very fake number. There's only so long that you can fake all of these numbers is the problem. The GDP portion of that is government spending. What's the government spending? Well, they're borrowing the money, or they're taxing it from people, and then you're counting that back in the GDP. It's all just a big old, what do you call it, a hand-washing station of money, basically. It's just a big cycle.
It's cooking the books.
You're cooking the books on stuff. There you go. That's the way to say it. And it's not good because what happens if we go into another big recession? Like, what happens if the housing market finally crashes? Because there's a lot of people talking about that right now. What happens if that market finally crashes and the government needs to try and help people, but also the tax receipts are going down? It would be really bad, and they just have
that's
money, and we get into even more inflation.
That's why we need all those agents. Tax evasions, happening. Listen to the experts here, though, folks. Furman says, and who's Furman again? I can't remember.
Top economist in the Obama administration, and now an economics professor
at Harvard.
Yeah.
So here's the expert. Remember, trust the experts. He says, quote, "To see this in an economy with low unemployment is truly stunning. There's never been anything like it. A good and strong economy with no new emergency spending and yet a deficit like this. The fact that it is so big in 1 year makes you think it must be some weird, freakish thing going on." That's it. That's one of your top economist professors at Harvard. Just weird and freakish. We have no idea how we got here.
The freakish thing going on is that the government spends too much money. They keep adding and adding more and more programs. Yeah. They never take them away, and so they keep spending too much money. There's no freak accident. This is not a surprise. When they spend more and more money every single year, the deficits are going to happen. There's only so much you're going to be able to tax back out of the economy. What's that normal rate we pay?
What it sounds like to me is like the stereotypical wife joke, like when you're going over the budget with your wife, and she's like, "That must be some weird freakish thing," and you're like, "Well, there were 28 Amazon boxes delivered this month, and there were 27 Target trips, and I see here that we bought 45 coffees from Starbucks."
Yeah. Or in my house.
And you're like, well, it's just weird and freakish. I don't know how this happened.
In my house, it's reversed. You know, it's like...
That's why it's like stereotypical.
I'm like, what happened to our money? This is so weird. She's like, well, you just had your 18th microphone delivered to the house, and... looks like that's a Rode microphone. You got a nice carry case for it, too. That's cool. How much money are you bringing in with that other podcast? And I don't know if this is some kind of freakish thing that's happening right now or not. And so I'm just trying to give credit to the ladies out there.
That's why I said stereotypical.
You know, yeah.
It's a joke. All right. There are plenty of women who are really good with money, and there's plenty of men that suck with it.
Yeah.
All right. So it could be reversed.
I'm actually really good with money. I've never had any. I just can't prove to you
still
my
in that,
greatness.
No. You're mentally still in your trailer.
Yes.
That you grew up in.
It's very true.
Yeah. No, but you're spot on. The government spends too much money. And we talked about this, that once you release this kind of money, right? It's very hard to claw back.
Can't take it back.
People are now used to this, right? And it's political suicide to try to remove it, right? Because people were like, well, I ain't voting for that guy. He's not going to give me money like this guy is, or
even
this girl.
Like people who will tell you, like a conservative, let's take like a 60-year-old conservative, and they're like, yeah, the government's ruined everything, and these entitlements and Social Security and Medicare and all that stuff. They're bankrupt in our economy. And they don't have any money. We're going to run out in 10 years. And then there's like a candidate who says, well, you know, I think we should maybe allow people to opt out or, you know, reduce some of the benefits and stuff like that.
Maybe we should
like,
raise the age by a year or two.
I'm not voting for that crazy extremist isolationist person who wants to throw grandma. You know, they don't actually. People want to help themselves first.
Because here's the thing. They've paid into it their whole lives now. And so you're like, well, hang on a second. I just spent 40 years paying into something that I'm not going to get anything out of. And you're like, yeah, you kind of got scammed, Grandpa. Yeah, that's called a pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put Bernie Madoff in prison for that. But we're not going to put anybody in prison for this one. But you kind of got screwed. I feel bad for you.
Let me show you.
We're getting screwed, too. Don't worry.
This is starting in 1929, and it goes up to 2022, I believe, on this number. We mentioned it earlier, but this is the tax receipts as a percentage of our GDP. And so typically, Charlie and I have talked about this, and this comes from Professor Andy Davies. You know, we talked about that book a lot. What's the name of that book?
Words and Numbers.
Well, the podcast.
Oh, podcast.
Numbers.
Sorry.
There's a book that's really good. Cooperation and Coercion. They talk about that a lot. So anyway, the tax receipts as a percentage of GDP typically sits somewhere around 17%. But it does wiggle back and forth a little bit. It's dipped down to, say, 14%, and it's gone up to almost 20%. Here's something really interesting, because what people will tell you is that, here's what they would tell you if you're making this argument online, on Twitter, or X, whichever one. If you're making this argument, they'll say, we're not taxing hard enough. That's the problem. Corporate greed, all this stuff. We're just not taking in enough taxes. What we need to do is tax more. Get the government some more money so we can finally solve this problem. Well, as a percentage of the GDP, let me tell you how many years we have had tax receipts as a percentage of GDP over 19%. We have had that a total of four times in the recorded history of the United States, according to the Federal Reserve. Of course, there was time before that, but... Mm-hmm. Let's just act like time started right here. In 1944, 1945, and the year 2000, and the year 2022 are the only times, according to the Federal Reserve, that we have ever taken over 19%.
According to Fred,
that we've ever taken over 19% of our GDP back in taxes. Okay, so we are essentially, statistically, at all-time highs as far as the amount of taxes we have taken out of the economy. The times where it has gone up, now the all-time high is actually 19.81, and we are currently at 19.23. The all-time high is 19.81. The times where it got up to that 19.8 realm, real bad stuff happened afterwards, and then things were okay. Now, we've got a world war where we were taking that much. Then we've got the dot-com boom running up to 2000. Everything was just humming along, and then we get this big financial crash. We didn't even get back up there for the Great Recession. And then we are running up to right now. And so how is anyone going to tell me that it has to do with us not taxing enough when we are statistically at the highest amounts that have ever been taxed out of the U.S. economy, and we're still running a $2 trillion deficit? Is that the problem?
It's not the tax receipts.
Not the receipts, is no. It?
I want you to pay attention to something else here, by the way. As people mentioned in the comments, there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government program or government spending or whatever the case may be.
All right, when we come back, Liberty Unite, we're going to be talking more about this massive budget deficit. And, of course, Joe Biden is out there talking about all the jobs he's added.
Do you prefer silver? Has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The White House is weighing in on reports that North Korea could soon begin providing weapons to Russia. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan tells reporters at the White House briefing Tuesday, North Korea will pay a price if it helps Russia kill Ukrainians.
We will continue to look for opportunities to dissuade the North Koreans from taking this step, to get others to do the same, and to report to the world what we are seeing in terms of the actively advancing discussions that are taking place between these two countries.
House Republicans are issuing subpoenas for DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and others as part of investigations into Hunter Biden. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer subpoenaed Mayorkas along with three other DHS employees and two Secret Service staffers. Tim Berg, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What is up? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. We are coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We've been talking about this crazy, crazy U.S. budget deficit. And while Joe Biden has been out there talking about how he cut the deficit, of course, Trump's massive deficits, of course, never mentioned that was because of all the COVID stimulus packages. Hey, we still fault Trump for signing all that mess also. But now we're looking at a $2 trillion deficit when we're not at major war and we're not in a recession. What's going on? Before the break, we were talking about how there's nothing as permanent as a temporary government program. And we're looking at how much the government taxes out of our economy, out of our GDP. We are at record highs, near record highs right now.
If you notice the sharp increase during World War II, mm-hmm. right, when we went up to that 20% mark, basically 19.8, you'll notice it didn't dip. Didn't really dip below 14. We've stayed at an average of about 19% since World War II. Now, remember, in World War II, this was all temporary, just for the war.
Well, we get things like Social Security. Mm-hmm. We get these programs that are going to help people, you know, and take care of them. So that's when we start to get this kind of welfare.
But they still, the messaging, the propaganda back then was still like, oh, it's going to be the rich people.
Yeah.
It's going to be what? Now it's everybody. Everyone.
At that time, beforehand, I mean, starting in 1929, they were taking 4% of the GDP. So the GDP, like, that's all of our products and services that we're creating as an economy. So that's what we are generating every year as an economy. And they're only taking 4% of it. And they're doing okay, I guess. I don't know. America back then, I feel like everything was okay. We shoot all the way up to basically 20%, and we've stayed around 17% since then.
and we just, it's not enough. It's just not enough. And so now my question
is... And here's the thing. It will never be enough.
So
ever.
When you look at this as far as a chart is concerned, what we are looking at is either we're going to get rejected off of those highs, like we haven't in the past, or that what's called an inverted head and shoulders pattern right there over the last 20 years is going to equal us shooting up in the territory that we've never been to before. In the history, all the world wars and everything. That we're going to shoot up into a nation that we're taking 30, 40% of our GDP, the government is, and setting it on fire, essentially. So I don't know which one of those things is actually going to happen. And then look at this federal, this is the net outlay. So this is the government spending as a percentage of the gross domestic product. So even if you look at this peak, I picked like kind of an average peak that happened in 1983. It was around 22.5% of our gross domestic product. Now, keep in mind, 22.5% they're spending of our gross domestic product, and we're saying that they were taking in about 17 or 18% of the gross domestic product, and then they're spending more than that. And of course, what do they got to do with the extra they spend? They got to take it back out, either through borrowing or inflation or whatever it is. But there's only a few times that we've gone over this 22.5%. Happens to be the Great Recession, the housing market crash, and World War II, and the last couple of years, as far as our spending as a percentage of the GDP. And everyone's trying to tell us that we just live in the greatest economy that's ever happened in the history of the world. People really think we're going to pop up into areas we have only been in for what we call the Great Recession and World War II, and Great Depression time, and everything's going to be fine. Be the first time in our history that we hit those numbers, and it's the greatest economy ever. What do you think, man?
It's all lies.
Ain't going to happen.
We're not being honest about what's really happening. You know, it'd be a really cool constitutional amendment that maybe libertarians can fight for. I just thought about this. Like, what if we made a rule that the government budget cannot be more than 5% of GDP?
Yeah.
Then what would be the incentive for government? It would be to grow the GDP.
Yeah, to fake the GDP numbers would be their incentive. So
they could get, you know, 5%.
But no,
but that would be something in the right direction.
To me, that's something that the founders kind of overlooked, I guess. And it's weird. They foresaw so many things happening. But even when it comes to taxation, they should have set a limit on taxation. You know, I know that there wasn't an income tax when they originally did the Constitution, but even when they did that, like, there should have been a limit set on the amount of taxes you could take from the people, and there needs to be a limit set on the amount of the GDP that they can spend also. And the actual problem we've ran into, it's not just the people in the government, it's the people that elect the people in the government, like we were saying earlier. Like, we want unearned things. We just had Labor Day, so that just reminds me that people want unearned things, you know? And that's a big problem. And this is what happens when you keep wanting unearned things, is the government has to use money to pay for it, and they're either going to inflate, or they're going to borrow, or they're going to tax. Either way, it's still going to cost you money. They're just going to rely on certain people's ignorance and to tell you that it's not going to cost you any money. But everything, even if you want to say you want to tax corporations to pay for this, well, where do corporations get their money? They get their money from their customers. Corporations don't pay taxes. Their customers pay taxes. I think the number is somewhere around 80% of the increased tax gets passed back through the price of the products and services, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, it absolutely increases prices for people. There's no way that you're going to get these things from the government without it costing you money. And there's always an idea that it's going to cost someone else money. It's not going to cost you anything.
But you get it for free.
It's never actually going to be free.
Yeah. But have no fear, folks. At the end of this article, quote, unlike House Republicans, President Biden takes reducing the deficit seriously. And he will continue calling out Republicans for their hypocrisy on the debt. From White House spokesman Michael Kikakua.
Kikakawa.
Kikakawa.
All right.
Mm. The statement also emphasized that Biden's budget proposals would reduce the deficit by trillions of dollars through higher taxes on the rich and corporations.
It's just more taxes. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Even though we are currently at all-time high levels of taxation in the U.S. economy.
And then who's going to pay for that? Who's going to pay for the taxes on the rich and corporations?
People who pay those people for the things that they produce.
That just means the prices are going to keep going higher.
Don't get. It's just inflation. That's all it is. You can't get things. You can't get things without paying for it. There's no such thing as a free lunch. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. You will pay for it somehow. And
that's just the way nature works.
I know.
Nature versus Nurture Lodge. You know?
Let's look at some more cool things. We've got this. This I think we'll go to Biden. I keep wanting to say Obama today. I left for 4 days and I forgot that Biden was the president. Every time I tried to say his name, I went to say Obama today. Yeah. It's so weird.
Up there like, what am I doing again? What is this?
Well, so he was up there talking.
You think he wakes up every morning and was like, I'm the president?
He's the happiest man in the world.
They voted me? I never thought. God darn these! I could need to tell these kids anybody could do anything.
I don't know whose joke it was, but that's so good saying that he's the happiest man in the world. Every day he wakes up and finds out he's president. Man, envious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is him talking. He finally calls out Trump, and he's talking about his record on jobs. This needs some type of fact check, and so we shall provide it, Joseph R. Biden.
800,000 new manufacturing jobs. But you wouldn't know from all the negative news you hear, but we're getting through this one of the greatest job creation periods in American history. For real, that's a fact. And you know, it wasn't that long ago we were losing jobs in this country. In fact, the guy who held this job before me was just one of two presidents in history. He was one of two, but here's an important point. One of two presidents who left office with fewer jobs in America than when he got elected office. You know who the other one was? Herbert Hoover. Isn't that kind of coincidental?
Well, the vacuum guy?
Oh, Joe.
Okay. So we basically everyone listening knows the lot. Now, factually, it's correct. That's the problem.
I love how they love facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the left is most known for. They're factual loving.
Mm-hmm. They don't like misinformation. They like the truth, and they care about democracy. And of course, the people need to know the truth. And the truth of the matter is that Donald Trump is one of two presidents to leave office with less jobs than when he got there. And there's no asterisk or anything necessary for this. Now that
you don't have to ask why.
No.
No.
They all know. Now, it doesn't mean that we agree with the way Trump did things while he was president. I don't remember exactly. See, it's been so long since we talked about COVID stuff. I don't remember exactly what the federal government's role in the unemployment was, because I know a lot of this was state policies, but also know there are a lot of industries that were also, like major industries, that were also asked to shut down. And so.
Yeah, the whole essential worker thing.
Yeah. I know, but I'm just wondering how much of it was state level, how much of it was federal level. And I can't tell you exactly what all those numbers are right now. But we all know that it was because of COVID. Now, one thing I don't like that they do when they talk about this is they act like, Joe Biden acts like, if he was the president at this time, then none of those people would have lost their jobs somehow. He wouldn't have shut down the country, you know. They would have just said, screw COVID, and kept going, you know. And that's like what they're implying, is that if a Democrat would have been in office, that they would have kept the economy open and no one would have lost their jobs and everything would have been fine. And then when they talk about the deficits, they're implying the same thing. Oh, they would have never spent that $2.2 trillion on the COVID relief bill. That's not a Democrat thing to do. There's no way.
Yeah, we would spend it on Build Back Better.
Mm-hmm. You
know? That's what it would be, because Democrats actually invest.
Yeah.
You know, which means they don't really spend money.
Now, there were things that different countries do that I think was better. Some of their some of the bailouts went directly to companies, and what they had to do essentially was keep people hired. They paid them through payroll on the companies, so they remained employees of those companies. So when they reopened, They were still employees of the companies. We didn't go back through this whole process, you know, and that's what some of these Scandinavian countries did. And if you're going to manage an economy and spend other people's money through that's stolen through theft and threat of death, and then I think that that was a better way of doing things.
Well, and in a way, they tried to do that in America. The PPP loans was supposed to be payroll protection.
But there was no...
But you could spend it on all kinds of things.
You could do anything you wanted with it.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter. You didn't,
and you didn't even
employed.
Have to have a business to get it.
No.
You could be in prison and get a PPP loan that you didn't have to pay back. So
I want to look at some of the numbers here. Now, he starts off by talking about manufacturing. And so I did want to look at manufacturing, and this is actually pretty crazy what happened from 1940. And this is and thousands of people here, so and millions, really, that were employed in the manufacturing industry. And what you see is around, 2000? This falls off a galdering cliff just out of here.
.com. Man. Everybody moved to the Internet.
Yeah, I guess so. That's what happened. All the manufacturing moved overseas, I guess. And so we've never recovered from that. At that point, it dropped off of around, say, 17 million manufacturing jobs. And it bottomed out after the Great Recession somewhere around 12, a little lower than 12, wouldn't you say, Chuck?
Yeah.
And so we move up.
And then about the same thing happened in 2020. Yeah.
We move up in 2020 up to 12,790,000. And then it falls off a cliff because all these places are shut down. Okay.
Remember, you couldn't even get toilet paper.
It's not that. Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Couldn't even wipe your own ass if you wanted to.
That you're stunk. Let me tell you what, man.
Yeah, good thing we were all in our own homes.
I wear a mask, you know. Else with a smell, if anything. So what happened when this job number just fell off of a cliff is not that, like, Donald Trump signed a new law, like a Republican-led bill that said, F manufacturing people, we're just going to dump all these jobs. Maybe it had to do with Trump, but it was a COVID pandemic that either one of the parties would have done basically the same thing. And I would guess that, in fact, if there were a Democrat, say Hillary Clinton in office, if Hillary Clinton was in office in this pandemic, if some reason the Chinese still decided to release this virus right before the presidential election.
Allegedly, yeah.
Which I guess maybe there's your argument. If there would have been a Democrat president, the virus would have never existed in the first place because they wouldn't have had a reason to release it, right?
Now, would that be better?
There's
we
your
wouldn't
question.
Have gone through the pandemic? I mean, I don't know. I don't really know.
This is all speculation.
That's
and
why I said
sarcasm.
Allegedly, yeah.
We do not think that this was intentionally released to the world.
That we know of.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. Is it possible?
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
That's what my church says.
Mm-hmm. So January 2020, we have 12,790,000 jobs. And right now we have 12,997,000 jobs.
About 200,000 more so jobs.
So there's your... When you
but they're counting from this number.
Well, they're counting from the time that Joe Biden took
office.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
I don't know if I highlighted that. Let me see. No, I didn't. He's right. It's about 800,000 new manufacturing jobs from the time he took office. And, of course, we were rebounding really hard from a time that all of those jobs, those places of work, were shut down, not allowed to do anything.
Yeah. Which, and, by the way, it looks like Trump added about 800,000 as well before he left office.
He did. Yeah. But you look at his total for the whole time he was president. Yeah. And he didn't add the same amount.
It was net negative.
Yeah. He was net negative, which is pretty crazy. But what I think the most important number to look at is what were we just before COVID, and then what are we right now? Because that's what we should truly be comparing our economy to, not what did the economy look like when the government shut down the economy versus what does it look like when the government is allowing the economy to operate. Those are terrible things to compare to one another. Clearly, one thing is going to be better than the other. Not that hard to guess that. What does it look like when the economy was purring along and it turns out it's about 200,000 more jobs? Now, the thing that we should also look at is what was the trend line before that? Now, this, I'm not saying it's all Biden's fault, but this is what happens when you shut down an economy. because we were on track. If we kept going at the pace that we were going to be at, we were on track to, say, have, instead of 200,000 more jobs right now, I drew a line on it on another chart that I don't have on here. We were on track that by now we would have like 500,000 more jobs than we had in January 2020.
If because the trend kept going.
If that rate of growth kept going at that time. And so we're still behind where we would have been if not for the COVID pandemic. So basically, Joe Biden, you know, he's saving all of us. This employment to population ratio is another really important thing to look at. I didn't pull up the labor force participation rate. I pulled up the employment to population ratio because he talks about, we talk about how many jobs we've added. Well, another thing to keep in mind is how many people we've added because the population continues to grow. So it's very different when you look at those raw job numbers and you don't pay attention to, say, what percentage of the population was actually added in jobs. And we still have not made it up to the percentage before the COVID pandemic. We're still maybe half a percent.
We still haven't even recovered from the financial crisis of 08.
No, we never got up to 2006 levels.
And we haven't even recovered from the dot-com bubble.
No, never got up to dot-com. And I think, was that the peak? April of 2000 was actually the peak in the employment population rate. And it's crazy. Like,
look at the head and shoulders. Beautiful.
I know. It's so good. And then we almost came right up to it and tested it before we fell off again. Mm. It's crazy how this stuff works. But
everything's a chart.
I know.
You can chart your whole life.
You can chart your life. You really can.
Yeah.
We don't have to go into that right now. But anyway.
And if you're feeling down, you just need a little bit of an investment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What's important is that you get past your previous high. Mm-hmm. And when you start to feel like low again, you don't let yourself go lower than the previous low. As you want to get yourself on an uptrend. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every time you feel good, you just feel better than the most recent time you feel good. When you get down, you don't want to go down below the last time you got down. You're on the uptrend.
Because otherwise you might really hit, go bottom.
Sounds like you need to go get some cocaine or something like that. That's how people are officially.
I don't recommend that.
No. Now you could personally do it yourself by making the good life choices, or you could do like what the government does, which would be like falsely pushing this uptrend. Anyhow, the lesson to be learned.
Who says this also sounds like advice Kurt Cobain would give?
Let's get to the point here for a sec on a Tuesday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The point here is that when we look at the dot-com era and you think about like the Bill Clinton years and all that, a lot of people look at the 90s. I'm like, yeah, the 90s. That was a good time.
That was,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a great time. And also, there's a lot of people who will look at working and say that working is bad. Like, we don't need, these people working for the man, working for these corporations, whatever. It turns out a correlation with the 90s and the Bill Clinton era being so good is also that we were at the all-time high employment-to-population ratio that the United States has ever been, according to all of the Bureau of Labor Statistics that we can go through.
So that's more people who are able to work that were working.
Yes.
Than not.
And I think that working does give you a fair amount of purpose. If you can find it, you can find it in every job, whatever job it is that you're doing that is done in a free market.
You have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Something to get you out of bed
and
in the morning.
Now, if it's not done in the free market, that's between you and God, honestly. Okay, if you're working for the government and you're working on stolen money, maybe you're providing the service. Okay,
probably take Ambien to sleep at night.
That's how you sleep at night. But if you're working in a free market and people are freely giving that money, that means you are helping people, or they wouldn't be giving that money over to whatever the company is.
And I'm sure that's how Ambien came about, by mm-hmm. the way. You know,
people who
guy went to his doctor is like, man, I'm having trouble sleeping at night. I did all these terrible things I don't feel good about, And
the doctor's like, "What do you? Who do you work for?"
Yeah.
And the guy's like, well, "I work for the U.S. government,
yeah, CIA." Yeah. Can't tell you what I do though. But
no.
Yeah,
or it could just be an IRS, like an IRS agent, probably.
Yeah.
They couldn't sleep at night,
yeah.
And so they developed a drug,
yeah,
called Ambien.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they sleep at night.
Yep, that's it.
So So anyway, the employment to population ratio, we still haven't made it up to pre-pandemic levels or pre-2008 housing market crash levels or dot-com levels. Instead, we're actually sitting around the 1980s, 1970s levels right now.
What happened then?
It's not good. Okay. It's not good stuff. And so when we're out there talking about all these jobs that have been added, we're not even, as the population has grown, we're still not even getting over that employment to population ratio that we had before the pandemic. So what have we really added? We haven't added as much as we could have, because if that ratio would have kept going up the way it was going, it could be a heck of a lot higher right now. We'd have a whole lot more jobs than we have right now, which is a whole lot more production, a whole lot more GDP in the economy, which also helps fix all of this massive deficit to GDP problem that we're having. It pains me to talk about stuff like that because we're talking about, you know, stealing people's money and spending it on other stuff. But they could even be doing a better job at that right now. They suck at that.
Yeah.
How do you suck at stealing money? I mean, seriously, think about it. Your job is to steal money from people and spend less money than you stole from people.
Maybe if they feel a little bit bad about it. Listen, and that's why it's hard.
You've got, like, military and armies and guns and stuff to protect you. All you've got to do is steal money from people and then spend less money than you just stole. So you can keep doing it and your entire world doesn't collapse around you. And that's all. That's your job. That's all you got to do.
Greed. Greed actually explains that one.
Well, what, like greed for what? For power or for money?
For money. It's not enough. You know, yeah. You didn't steal enough. You didn't rob enough. Why do you think people who rob banks and stuff get caught? Because eventually they keep going because it's not enough. They spent more than they robbed. And so now they've got to rob another one. You know, that's the problem.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the dumbest tweets we saw over the last week.
It's obvious we're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.